Our guest this week is recognized as one of the top 30 customer experience gurus by Global Gurus in 2024. He is the author of the book Customer Transformation and the host of the Chris Hood Digital Show podcast. Having worked for Disney, Google, and Fox Broadcasting, this has given him a unique perspective on customer experience and driving customer success. So when he's not consulting and keynoting on customer-centric organizations, he teaches business systems analysis at Southern New Hampshire University, or he's being the founder and CEO of Muddy Robot Games. Please welcome to the podcast a very busy man, Chris Hood. Chris, welcome. Welcome to the Engaging Personalities Podcast. I'm Anders Belanger, founder and CEO of Engageify, where we're on a mission to rehumanize business through engagement. We believe that we can all be more successful if we can command attention and deepen connection. So stick around to the end of the show, and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest on a future episode. So let's get ready to engage.
Thank you so much. Yes, busy, busy.
Yeah, I don't even know how you can do it, but so let's talk a little bit about your background to start off with, because I think that's kind of interesting. And there might be more companies that I didn't list there, but just in terms of what shaped your thinking working at these different companies, because obviously, you know, you've probably derived material from that, you know, and to talk about customer experience. So do you want to kind of touch on that? Yeah.
Yeah, my very first job was actually working at a movie theater where I was pounded in my head, the customer is always right. Mm. And I think that's one of these conversations we often have even now today. Is the customer always right? And obviously my opinions have kind of adjusted over the time. You know, there's some nuances to that statement. And I do spend some time talking about why the customer should still be right in a lot of scenarios. But from there, I spent most of my career in the media and entertainment industries. So film, television, music, video games. And one of the consistent themes across all of those different industries is storytelling. Mm-hmm. And what I really was drawn to was the ability to communicate new ideas through stories. And then as we started to see a shift in how businesses had to communicate value to their consumers, we got into the dot-com era. We began to build websites for everything. We then had applications. There's an app for that. And through all of those types of technology shifts, the consistent was that you had to attract a customer and then satisfy them through a unique experience. And so what I really learned pretty quickly was there was this need for a lot of businesses to be able to tell better stories and to use the different channels, whether it was a website or an app or some other digital channel, as an entertainment vehicle to attract, entertain, build experiences, and then ultimately grow your business. And so I leveraged all of the storytelling and entertainment elements that I've learned over the years, and then just reshifted those to traditional businesses. And it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're in healthcare or fintech or entertainment or fast food, there's an entertainment element. We have shorter attention spans than ever before. We are looking to be attracted to the brands that we follow. And that loyalty is built when we have a foundational relationship based on, you know, basically a recognition and an understanding of who you are as a person. And all of that gets formulated through this process of storytelling.
Well, that's a great answer. and I love, we have so many, there's a lot of affinity here because, you know, my background in entertainment as a magician and bringing in the messaging that we work with our different technology clients to attract people, it is that entertainment piece that is spiking the dopamine, right, of people, making them want to engage with a brand or what, or a customer, you know, could be a representative of a company. It could be anything, any piece of that. But it has to have the relevance in that story being told that you know, brings them into that world, right? So Disney was one of the things, and when you mentioned, you know, your experience, what's the term? Do they have a term for all of their team members aren't team members? They're
cast members.
That's right. Yeah. And so, and no matter where you are you considered a cast member as like, even if you're not really customer facing, you know what I mean?
So you have really two really good questions in there, but overall from a Disney perspective, that was rooted in the culture all the way back to Walt Disney, where he felt that his team were cast members and they were putting on a show. And even when you go to Disneyland, they call it, you know, front stage, backstage, right? And it's meant to be an experience. It's meant to be, we are performing for you. We are here to entertain you. And so absolutely to carry on that theme across the entire organization, everyone is considered a cast member. Everyone is well aware of who the guest is. They don't call them customers. They call them guest because you're inviting them into, you know, your home as a guest. So a lot of that for Disney is foundational as part of the overall culture that they are trying to build and how they want to, you know, portray that level of entertainment to their guest. The other thing that you touched on is actually something that I've talked a lot about recently, which is in your organization, we usually look at it as we've got customer facing roles and then we have non-customer facing roles.
Right.
And if you have these roles that are non-customer facing, then why do you care what you call them or what their roles are or, you know, what their mission is? And I've written several pieces recently that talk about building a customer-centric culture means that everyone in the business is responsible for the customer, whether it's a customer-facing role or not. Mm-hmm. And how you go about hiring, how you go about training, and definitely a reset in terms of the mindset about what that person is responsible for, I think is equally critical. So for example, we often think, say, a financial role is not really customer facing, but we're dealing with budgets to build customer experiences. We're dealing with refunds. Why did somebody refund from a customer perspective? So there are for every role, it doesn't matter. And I'll challenge the listeners, if you think of a role that is not customer facing, that has nothing to do with a customer whatsoever, send me a message and I will tell you how they are. Like I said, I've written a lot about this because I think it is critical to recognize to build successful customer-centric organizations. It is a recognition that everyone, even the non-customer facing roles, are responsible for developing that experience.
Yeah, and it's really, you're kind of trying to get to that Disney-like thinking or that culture side of things with customers or with your customers or the companies you work with. I'm wondering is there ever, you know, pushback in terms of adopting? I mean, if they're bringing you in, they probably, that's what they want. But I find with some companies, they kind of have this like, if we just dump the data on people, that's all we need to do, right? As opposed to the storytelling, as opposed to the packaging and how we present that information, you know, as part of the, what is the medium of that? You know, do you find it sometimes challenging or what are some of the roadblocks that you face?
Yeah, there's always a mindset internally that we know what we're doing. So why do we need to listen to anybody? There's always a mindset of, oh, we're already doing this. One of the common themes when I go in and talk with businesses is we already do this. And I'll even ask the question in the audience, raise your hand. How many people feel like you have awesome customer experiences? And mostly everybody will raise their hand. Yeah. But then as you start to go through the process and ask them other questions and you do workshops with them, and then you get to the end of the day, then you say, now, how do you feel you are in terms of customer experience? Most everyone says, yeah, we're not doing that. We're right. Not that detailed. We're not thinking about it in that way. I just did a workshop with a very, very large healthcare provider just a couple of days ago. And we went through 3 hours of workshops. And same thing, every single person at the start said, we know what we're doing. But then when you start to challenge them and begin to shift that mindset, and then also walk through scenarios in this workshop process, every single person in the room came away and said, I didn't think about it in that way. Mm-hmm. And we get settled, right? We get settled in our mindset. We get settled in our cultures. We get settled in how we do business. The death of most businesses is we've always done things this way.
Yeah.
Right? We're not going to change. It's worked for us. But when you get in there and you are able to shift that mindset and get them thinking about it differently, every single time, 100% of the time, they are more than willing to do it and understand it. But the other roadblock is you've got to execute. And most organizations are just not ready to execute, or they struggle with that execution, whether that's from a leadership perspective or the culture perspective or teamwork dynamics.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part, is to actually say, yes, we recognize there's opportunity for improvement, but yeah, I'm going to fall back into my comfortable little area and just keep doing things the way we're doing.
Because it's a big project to tackle and to get through and execute, like you're saying. Do you find that in terms of customer experience, and I have to be careful, customer experience and customer service are different things, right? We're kind of talking about the whole, it doesn't matter what people are, if it's whether it's coming to the website or they're purchasing or buying in different methods, that is the overall experience that they're having, right, with the company. Is that right? Am I kind of defining that right, as opposed to?
Sure. I look, there are different teams and there are different processes that all have customer on front of them, right? So customer experience, customer journey, customer success, customer service, customer support. You know, at the end of the day, they're still all your customers and you still have to satisfy them. Yeah. So if we kind of even think about the customer experience as part of the holistic view of an organization, when you call in to try to file a complaint or get help, that's part of your experience. If it's bad, you're going to leave the company and go somewhere else. We've all been on the phone trying to get an answer and we're hitting like zero, talk to a real person. And, you know, and then we get to a real person and they don't really understand or aren't able to solve our problems. That's still part of your experience.
Yeah.
That's part of how you are going to walk away and think about that company. And so I wouldn't necessarily segregate them too much, because as long as customer is in front of whatever the terminology is that you're thinking about, you've got to provide that customer with the best possible experience they want.
Yeah. Now, in terms of technology, because when we talked, you talked about, you know, being on the phone and you're going through these automated attendants and things like that, it's almost somehow more frustrating for people who just want to talk to a human. What's going on with technology? And we'll touch on AI in a second, but what's going on with technology and customer experience? Are we seeing better customer experience, or are we kind of putting almost a barrier between us and the people that we really want help from? What's going on there, Chris?
Yeah, we are putting barriers up, right? The technology is basically allowing us to simplify the business's involvement with whatever it is. So, you know, you talked about AI. AI can automate the experience, but at what cost? You lose that human connection, and as a result, you're actually decreasing your customer experience. And there's a lot of people who would love to argue with me on this, right?
Sure.
They believe that AI can solve a lot of these problems. But the root issue is that we as humans want to talk to other humans about our problems. We don't want to talk to a robot. We don't want to talk to a bot. This is why we're starting to see some differentiations in the marketplace by some large organizations. For example, Discover Financial, who has an entire campaign out right now that says, when you call in, you're talking to a real person. And they make fun of it, that says, no, it's not a robot. No, I'm really a real person, right? because they recognize that there are a lot of people out there that just don't want to talk to a robot. Yeah. Now, what's interesting is that where I think there's opportunity for artificial intelligence, and I'm well aware of every single possibility, use case, scenario. I've been in the AI space for over 10 years. I know what's out there. But what we tend to struggle with is leveraging AI to make smarter decisions on the behalf of either support or the customer. Mm-hmm. So here's some scenarios for us as an example. We as humans have certain needs. For example, I want to reset my password. I don't necessarily want to talk to a person to reset my password. I should be able to log in, hit reset password, and do it, right? Mm-hmm. So the technology and the way to automate that is simple. Whereas if I have a problem with my bill, I may need to go in and talk to somebody. Yet there are going to be other people who don't want to talk to people. Where AI can come in is to determine at what point you want to talk to a real person or not talk to a real person. And for each of us, that's going to be an individual, unique experience. Yeah. And so you can't necessarily lump all of this in, you know, and say all of our customers are going to have to go through this process in order to achieve this thing. AI should be intelligent enough to say, well, wait, this person seems to need to talk to a real person. I'm going to hand that over right now. Yeah. Oh, this person doesn't need to talk to a real person. I can solve that problem in this way. And when we get into really challenging scenarios from a business perspective, think about it like I've got a bill due and I want to ask for an extension on that bill. Are you going to allow AI to justify if we are going to extend your payment options, right? Most CFOs in the world would say no, because that's their guaranteed understanding of income coming in. Mm-hmm. Even if you were to call in and say, hey, can I have an extension? Your real people, customer service agents are probably saying, trying to adjust that and offer other solutions, right? So the thought process of basically removing guardrails and allowing AI to make a decision based on how the consumer is engaging with you for something critical, like a financial transaction, we're not there yet. We are getting there, but this is why the technology goes back to the business. The business is implementing technology to benefit the business. It's not implementing technology to benefit the consumer. Yeah. And when we shift that mindset, then I think we can get more clearer on how technology can enable that humanistic experience, the empathetic experience that we are looking for.
Yeah, man, there's so much to unpack what you were saying. And obviously you are an expert in this because this is, you know, your realm. One of the things that I've been thinking about, and I think this is like, you know, a multi-million dollar idea, is design AI to navigate customer service at all the companies you want to, right? So instead of me being on the phone, I have AI go talk to their AI. It's sorted out for me so that I don't have to deal with it, right? And take the stress away.
But see, you just said something that I think most people forget, right? You just said it, AI talking to AI. Well, if we're going to open up the world so that my personal AI can talk to a business's AI and come to a conclusion together, maybe that's interesting, but at the end of the day, we don't have AI selling to other AI products, right? We don't have some personal AI who's sitting there and saying, oh, I know that Chris is out of milk right now. I'm going to contact the grocery store, talk to that AI, buy some milk, and then have the AI deliver that milk over to Chris's refrigerator. Like, we're not doing that. You still are a human buying a product or service from theoretically another human. Yeah. And yet we want to impose this technology into the process to make it so that the humans are not communicating with each other. And that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, we're analog as humans. We're not digital beings. Well, not yet. Right.
But we're multidimensional.
Yeah.
You know, from a human perspective, sure, we can say we're analog, but we are so multidimensional. And all AI is really doing is trying to predict what you might want to say or feel. It has no understanding of it. The simplest way that I explain this is that AI today, generative AI specifically, is nothing more than a glorified search engine, because that's really all it's doing is you're asking it a question and it's quickly searching what it understands and providing a result. That's a search engine. And it can get a little bit more predictive. Like, I think you meant to ask me this, so I'm going to provide you an answer based on this, where, say, a traditional search on Google, whatever you put in, it's going to return as an out. So we are getting smarter, but at the end of the day, again, it's simply a search engine. And we as humans, this multidimensional understanding of what we are feeling and when we are feeling it in a moment, we can't predict that. You know, I actually just wrote an article today that talks about customer journey mapping. And that traditional customer journey mapping is dead because we are multidimensional. If I'm in the grocery store and I'm shopping and I forget to, I had to pay a bill, and then I get my phone out in the middle of the grocery store to pay the bill, and now I'm looking at my banking account to say, oh, wait, I don't have as much money for dinner tonight, and I'm starting to put items back into the shelves for my grocery cart, that's a real experience. And yet we think traditionally in a linear perspective that a journey is I walk into the grocery store, I buy groceries, and I leave. That's not what's happening. And that multidimensional perspective is what AI cannot accommodate right now.
Yeah. Because there's things that are happening that don't fall into neat little tidy patterns.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me change gears a little bit here, Chris. And let me ask you, as someone who speaks on this and helps organizations, you must be hyper aware of maybe bad customer experience or good customer experience kind of scenarios. And I'm just wondering if there's a favorite one, and I'll let you choose which one, or you can do one of each or whatever you like, but one that you sometimes speak on or use an example to kind of teach us a little bit about, yeah, you know, what it's all about.
Yeah. So I am hyper aware, and it's really interesting because when I read articles, I can usually pinpoint right off the bat where that company is failing from their customer experience perspective. One that I actually use often, and it's in my book, is Anheuser-Busch with the Bud Light fiasco. Now, I'm going to remove the marketing piece of this, and I'm going to remove the political piece of this, because what the use case is will demonstrate how organizations get into a specific mindset and ultimately then forget about the customer. So we could talk a whole podcast alone about including customers in marketing strategies, but again, put that aside. What was interesting was that the CEO of Anheuser-Busch came out with a press release about a month, 2 months after the scenario. And what the press release basically said is, we are going to start to, basically transform, to relook at things. And the press release starts off by saying to our employees, we are working very closely to ensure that everybody is protected, and we're going to have some great opportunities for our employees. To our wholesalers and frontline support, we also recognize that this has been a rough time. We're going to continue to support you and drive some new campaigns to, encourage growth. And then to our customers, we hear you, and as a result, we are going to change our advertising campaign, and our next advertising campaign will be directed to what you came to love about our company, and you're going to drink beer. So if we think about that, again, very clearly spelled out, number one was employees, number two was our wholesalers, and number three were our customers. Yeah. Now, again, this is a major public relations fiasco from the CEO, which I'm positive multiple people probably looked at this press release before it went live. It was on their blog. It had publicity. And you put your customer as number three.
Yeah.
Last. Which, if we actually analyze this, the other two areas, your employees and your wholesalers, if you solved the customer problem, the other two would solve themselves.
Right.
Right. And that's the mindset. When you simply can't see that you've delegated the most critical part of your business to last, that tells us, without understanding anything else, it tells us the importance that you're placing on your customer, which is ultimately why you had that problem in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And businesses lose sight of this. They literally are in their bubbles. They are in their own world. They are trying to handle the things that are in front of them for whatever. And this is a CEO who can't see that the customer is the most important part of that equation. So it's a great example of how you can, really shift the mindset to be asking yourself always, is customer first in everything you do? Customer first, customer first, all of our press release, customer first. I'll give you another really quick one, because I know we're on time. Disney was losing subscribers to Disney Plus. And there was an article in Hollywood Reporter interviewing Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, and talking about a substantial transformation that they are going to go through in order to improve their experience. The entire article is about 980 words. The word customer only appears one time in 980 words. And after that article, Disney Plus lost an additional 15 million subscribers, because all they were talking about is the transformation they were going to do internally and not the transformation that they were going to undertake to ensure that the customer and the experience and what they want was front and center of what those changes were going to be.
Yeah. It wasn't really benefit oriented for the end user. It was more features that we're working on or whatever, right?
That exactly.
Kind of, yep. Yeah. Man, something you said there earlier about the CEO at Anheuser-Busch, it made me think of Undercover Boss. But instead of doing Undercover Boss, you're doing Undercover Boss with the customers, right? Not working with the frontline, but actually buying your own products, right? Like,
I went and did a workshop with an airline. And while I was in this workshop with the airline, I said, does your CEO ever fly coach and sit next to a customer and ask the customer how their experience is? Well, yeah. No, of course they don't. And there's the problem. Like, does the CEO of Coca-Cola ever just walk randomly into a grocery store and start to figure out like what's working and what's not working? You're absolutely right. If you took the concept of Undercover Boss and applied it to a customer-focused perspective and actually talk to real customers as an executive leader, you would get closer to where you need to be. And I've heard all the excuses. Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, I have all of these meetings. Your most important thing, your most important stakeholder ever is your customer. And so if you do not have time to just take a moment out of your day and talk to customers, then you're not, you don't care. That's really the bottom line is you just don't care about your customer.
Right. And if all the customers go away, you don't have a job. You don't have a company. Right.
Can't say that I'm going to hand this off. Like, you're the CEO. Well, yeah, I've got people who handle this. They talk to the customers. You're the CEO. Go talk to your customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you're saying, it really is, you know, culture and coming from leadership. You know, if it's not there, it's not going to be embraced, and it has to come all the way through, you know, just like that cast member principle that you talked about earlier. It's very systemic in that sense, right? You got to, like, you can't do it halfway, right, Chris? Like, it's got to be a full full on transformation.
We'll bring this full, yeah, we'll bring this full circle. Walt Disney walked around Disneyland on a regular basis talking with the guest at the park.
Yeah.
And today, the last time Bob Iger walked through the park and actually talked to guests, you know, actually, believe it or not, I think he actually did it a couple of days ago. But besides that, you know, the foundation of what Walt Disney did, you know, definitely has not necessarily carried on. And I think that perspective of just get involved with your customers, it's critical. Yeah.
So tell us about your book, Customer Transformation. Who needs to read that and where can you get it?
Well, I love what you just said a moment ago. If you do not have customers, you do not have a business. So the fact that it's about customers, it's really geared towards anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a small business or if you're a large business, an enterprise. The book is about the recognition that customers, especially in this digital world, are constantly evolving. Our individual needs and preferences, aspirations are continuously evolving. And as a result, because the customer first is transforming, the business has to understand how to keep up with that ever-evolving transformation. And so the book is a 7-stage framework for walking through your organization to become more customer-centric. And it walks through with action plans and case studies through each of those stages to really help you better understand who your customer is, what their needs are, and how you satisfy their needs.
Beautiful. Excellent. Now, how can people reach out to you if they want to get in touch, Chris?
Easiest way is on my website, chrishood.com, chrishood.com. And on my website, you can find links to my book, my social media profile, so you can follow me. You can find my blog. You can find my podcast. Really, everything and anything is right there, chrishood.com.
Awesome. It's so great having you on. I mean, I want to have you on again sometime because I think you're just such a wealth of knowledge and expertise, and time kind of just flew by. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
And to all our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, you know what to do. Stay engaged. Thank you so much for listening to Engaging Personalities. If you believe this world needs more engagement and you're an industry leader or you have an interesting take on rehumanizing business, go to go.engageify.ai/podcast-guest to apply and come on the show. If you got something out of this interview, do you mind sharing it on your social media? Just grab a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show. Include the hashtag Engaging Personalities. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episode, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, engageify.ai, or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening and stay engaged.